thank y'all for being so courageous to leap off into that meditation last week, into kind of a centering prayer thing. I've heard from a lot of you. There is an app, if you want to put it on your phone, entitled, interestingly enough, Centering Prayer. And it's a square, and it has four colors, and it helps you set things up. I started using it a long time ago. I started, because you can set the time, I started with 1 minute, and then two, and then three, and now I'm up to 10. So you can do it at your own pace. That's great. Anyway, this morning, we are just finishing the second week of Lent. And our church has been doing a series on repentance, people in the Bible and repentance and all that. So I've kind of been rolling around in repentance for the last couple of weeks and was convicted of a lot of things I needed to repent of, right? Now, I will just tell you that repentance is one of those things that I can keep from the neck up. I can keep it in my head. That's not where it does any good. But it's safer up there, and so I can do that. And I know that's not what Lent is about. And so I was trying to figure out a way to kind of embody—that's a big church word—these repentant practices, right? So I was talking to a friend of mine who's an Episcopalian, and they're all into Lent. So she said, "Well, oh yeah, obviously, Jan, you need to repent." Thanks, that's helpful. She said, but then you need to fast. And I thought, well, that's not fun. I fasting is not my favorite thing because, frankly, I'm pretty self-indulgent. And so, but we all know that fasting serves a spiritual purpose, right? It's a sign of repentance. It's a sign of humble asking for forgiveness. It is a sign for petition and wisdom and direction, as we saw in Esther last week. It's an indication of grief. It can be a sign of identification with the poor and suffering. It serves a lot of purposes. But basically what fasting does is it realigns us with God's heart and God's mind. We get retuned to Him. And that's the benefit of fasting. So I'm thinking, okay, where am I going to start fasting? And she said, well, I know. And I went, oh, great. Just tell me. So she sent me a list, and she knows, and y'all know how much I love lists. No surprise, the things on the list covered almost everything I had been convicted of. And so I'm a slow learner. I fasted from the first item. I had to do it for 2 weeks, and I may do it for two more weeks. But I thought, well, maybe I'm not the only one who has problems with this, and so I'll share it with y'all this morning. So this is the list I'm going to share, right? In case some of you want to join me. The first week of Lent, we were supposed to fast from multitasking and inattention. Multitasking and inattention. Now, if y'all are like me, you won't realize how much you do that until you try to quit. It has been very powerful. I remember what Cameron used to say to me when I was busy in the kitchen and blah, blah, blah. She's trying to tell me something. She would say, Mommy, listen to me with your eyes. In other words, quit multitasking, quit being inattentive, and be attentive to me. Okay? So I've been practicing this for 2 weeks. Harold and I actually went on a walk the other day, not for exercise, which is usually my husband goal-oriented. We walked, and the purpose of the walk was for me to practice attention. You would not believe the things that we saw. The first thing we saw was a mated pair of hawks who were hunting together, and it was magnificent. We saw flowers. Even Harold said, look, there's a purple one. I was like, I don't know what it is, but it is magnificent. So it's amazing what you see when you're paying attention. The other thing that happened was what I noticed was the Lord was bringing a lot of people into my life that don't normally I cross paths with. And that was an invitation to me to kind of set aside my own agenda and to sit down, pay attention, really listen. And it is amazing what you hear when your mouth is shut. You know, this has been, I know that's self-evident, but anyway, it's kind of been transformative for me. So the second week, I kept practicing that, right? But the second week, I was supposed to fast from anxiety. There's a lot of that going around. And one person defined it as the endless torrent of thoughts that continually rise up in our minds and paralyze us with fears for the future. Isn't that a great description of what anxiety actually really does? So I'm going to start that this week. And it's going to involve me dragging those anxieties to the foot of the cross and acknowledging that Jesus is capable of handling all of them. He holds me. He holds all that I'm worried about in his hands. And that leaves me able to cultivate peace and hope. Okay, so that's the second one. Third one is fast from speed and rushing through life. Now, I'm sure none of y'all do that, right? But we get in our culture this idea that we have to be productive in order to be fully human. And that leaves us feeling exhausted. And what we need to do is just slow down. So I figure if I keep practicing the fasting from being inattentive, if I'm attentive, that this one, fasting from speed and rushing, is going to follow, I think. Stay tuned for another report. Okay, the fourth week is fast from being strong, from being in control, from always being the one who has to hold things together. And this means that I have to repent from trying to be the God of my own life and, frankly, the God of everybody else's, right? Being vulnerable, giving that up, fasting from that, leads us into God's grace. And sharing that woundedness when you give it up with someone that you can trust that will hold that lovingly is really hard, but it's really healing. Okay, week five, this is particularly applicable to me because I'm a list maker, is to fast from my own agenda and my calendar. Don't even look at it on the phone. Fast from my calendar. I know everybody's laughing. Fast from my calendar. Keeping a deadline in front of myself makes my focus be on the deadline. And fasting from that makes me release my own plans, okay? It makes me be flexible to the Holy Spirit's reordering of my day. It also makes me be alert to the opportunities for adventure that God has for me every day because I'm not so focused on my own deadline that I miss what's going on around here. So that's it. Fast from my own agenda and my calendar. And the last one, convicting, is to fast from certainty. Fast from thinking we are right, or we have interpreted an event or a person in the correct way. Fast from always knowing what's best, okay? To do this, we have to admit that there may be some things that we don't know for sure. All right? It's very humbling, right? But it keeps us from judging people, and it opens us up to the great mystery of God's creation and the variety of people and events and places and things that he has in our life. So fasting from certainty is very humbling, but it's also very freeing. I am more excited about these fasts than I have ever been about any other thing that I have done during Lent, right? And what I've realized is that each of the fasts has a synergistic effect on the other one. In other words, they reinforce each other. They complement, meaning they complete each other, right? They work together to, if you're a gardener, you'll understand this, to reshape the landscape of my life so that it's a more beautiful garden in God's kingdom. It does its work internally, and then hopefully externally it will be beautiful. The second thing I realize is not only do they all go together, but I'll never be done. You know, I tend to think of a Lenten fast as 6 weeks of self-discipline, and that's really not it at all. it is to turn from the things that God doesn't want for me and toward the things, like paying attention, that God does want for me. So I think in this precious list that was given to me by my friend, that God may indeed have gifted me with a lifetime spiritual practice of these fasts. Now, I would love to have some company on the road. So if you decide you want to try one, get with me and we'll compare notes and see how we do. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of all of these women, for the gift of the trust and the love in this group. Thank you for the gift of Elizabeth for Mary and Mary for Elizabeth. And most of all, Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, who is beyond description. And we are beyond grateful that you love us that much, that you came for us. You see us. You know us. You know where we are. You come toward us. And that we never have to be alone because you're always with us saying, you are my beloved, in you I am well pleased. Help us to pay attention to you in the days and weeks to come, that we may reflect your light to others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.